sevens of Revelation. I'm starting a brand new series today. And the meaning of the series is exactly what it sounds like, the sevens in Revelation. And today is part one, called 1-7, 2-7s, 3-7s. And we're going to look at the book of Revelation in a very interesting way. And by the way, the number 7 is purported to hold a meaning far beyond 1 plus 6 or 8 plus 1. It's purported in the Bible to mean spiritual perfection or completion. And I was surprised, by the way, to go on the internet and this week discover that there are some people who actually believe there's no other meaning for the number 7 than this. Okay? By the way, that's 6.5. I can't do anything about it. They admit that there's a 7-day week, and they admit that God created in 7 days, but outside of that, there's no significance to the number 7. I'm going to take contention with that, and I think through this series you will see that the number 7 indeed means spiritual perfection or spiritual completeness. So let's test out the theory, and let's get our Bibles and go to the very first 7, which is found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 8. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Revelation, the 7th chapter. And children, I want you to open your Bibles. I want you to follow along. And I want you to, this very simple message, as we look at 1-7, 2-7s, and 3-7s. And the message God conveys through those number, that number 7. And what it means to us today as Christians is phenomenal. So let's turn to Revelation, the very first 7, Revelation 7, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Are you ready? Are you there, children? Okay. Here we go. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now I want to stop right there and let's take a look at this. In the very first 7 of Revelation, chapter 7, we discover the seal of the living God. We discover sealed the servants of our God. And we discover the 144,000. When we turn to the very beginning of chapter 7, the first 7 in the book of Revelation, we are introduced to the seal of the living God, which is what? The Sabbath, the fourth commandment of the Decalogue. That's exactly what the seal of the living God is. Finally, thank you. It's the Sabbath. And the seal, the servants of our God, is the reception of the Sabbath truth. And the 144,000 is God's end time people. Now, I know there's a whole lot of symbolism here. And we're cutting to the quick as I look at these 3 points only. And yes, the symbolism bears the, it would be of great value to look at them. But I don't want to miss the larger picture here. I just want to cut simple. Folks, in the 7th chapter of Revelation, we are introduced to the last day people They're called the 144,000, which is a symbolic number, by the way. And what distinguishes them from the rest of the world in the last days is they receive God's seventh-day Sabbath, which means they acknowledge all 10 commandments of the Decalogue. And so when we turn to chapter 7, here's this group of people, and here they receive a seal which is God's sign of His authority. God is the creator of the universe, and He rested on the seventh day, and He blessed the seventh day, and He hallowed the seventh day, and He's now calling for all His children everywhere to recognize this forgotten principle, this forgotten fact, this forgotten evidence of who God is. Is there significance to the number 7? I scratch my head and go, wow, when we turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, it cuts right to the heart of it. In the last days, there's a group of people. I invite you to be part of that group. I want you to know that. By the way, a couple years ago, or even less, we went through the entire book of Revelation on Saturday evenings, one after another, during the Vesper series, and we covered every chapter, and we covered all this symbolism, and it was revealed much more graphically than I'm doing now. And we are going to repeat that later on. But I want you to know something. In the 7th chapter, we are immediately confronted with a group of people who live in the last days that are distinguished by the fact that they acknowledge God's Sabbath because Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the one who initiated everything. And we are acknowledging the authority of Jesus Christ by keeping the Sabbath. We are not legalists, okay? That unless you keep the Sabbath, you don't make it to heaven. In fact, it's because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath that we keep Sabbath. And we're inviting all Christians to recognize that Sunday is a man-made day. And in the 7th chapter, we're confronted with the people who keep this day in the last days. Now let's take a look at the 2nd 7th. That's found in Revelation, the 14th chapter. 2 times 7 is what? 14. So turn to Revelation 14 and notice something extremely interesting. In Revelation 14, the 2nd 7 we're going to look at this morning in the book of Revelation, in the first 5 verses, it now gives us a more complete description of the 144,000. Isn't that interesting? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as a loud voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, folks, I know that the context here anticipates after the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we get additional information here on what comprises the 144,000. And notice that we could look at a number of different symbols here that are given to us. They have their Father's name written on their forehead, and they sing a new song. Notice they were redeemed from the earth. They did not defile themselves with woman. I don't want you to be upset with that, because it turns out that All that is being talked on here is means they don't mess with other women. Only the one they're married to. And that is Jesus Christ. And every time Israel or anybody apostatize and worships an idol, it's called that they're committing adultery. Okay? Immorality. It doesn't mean that you're not married. And if you are married, you can't be 144,000. It means that the person you're married to is Jesus Christ. It says they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. So how am I to highlight the second seven as we look at it and find out that it describes more fully the first seven representation of the 144,000 who keep the seventh day Sabbath? I want to do it one simple way. Imagine they are without fault before the throne of God. That's who the 144,000 are. How in the world did they get like that? Would you turn to Jude, the 24th verse? There's only one chapter in Jude, so it doesn't even say Jude 1. It just simply says Jude 24. And I want to share this with you as we look at the second seven. And by the way, this second seven, we're only looking here right now at the first part, but we're going to end up looking at the rest of the second seven in a second. Do you have Jude? Oh, okay. Jude is the book before Revelation. How's that? That's a little tiny book that you may have never paid any attention to. And I want you to see what it says there in verse 24 and 25. This is the benediction, so to speak, that Jude is writing to the people he penned his letter to. And he says this. He says, "Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen." Who is this person? Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Who is that person? That person is Jesus Christ. I want you to know that the 144,000 are the best friends with Jesus. They follow the Lamb wherever He leads. And friends, I want to highlight this. Sometimes we want to go this way, but guess which way the Lamb went? And sometimes we want to go this way, but the Lamb went this way. If you're involved in any struggle, I want you to know that Jude ends his book by saying, "Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling." What is it you're struggling with? Whatever it is, Jesus will keep you from falling. And Jesus will give you the courage to keep the seventh day Sabbath when the whole rest of the world is set up opposed to the Sabbath. By the way, if you haven't recognized that fact yet, you soon will. All of society is skewed against the Sabbath. And so when it says here, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes and they're faultless before the throne, I go, "Lord, I'll never make it. I'm not faultless." But Jude writes to the people, and he says to them, "Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, unto Him who is able to present you faultless before His throne with exceeding joy, is Jesus Christ." And the epitome of Jesus is He is the Creator and the Recreator. And after He got done creating in 6 days, He rested the seventh. And after He recreated us on the cross of Calvary, He rested the seventh day and rose on the first day of the week. Unto Him. So in this first seven, we're introduced to the 144,000. In the second Sabbath, we're introduced to more precisely who the 144,000 is. And in the second part of the second seven, in chapter 14, we are introduced to the message that this unique group in the last days presents to a dying world. The last message that can save them and bring them to this Jesus. In fact, do you know that in Revelation 14, verse 6, it says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth." And what does gospel mean? Good news. The three angels' message is the good news that Jesus is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne. And this group of people tell everyone that we are to fear God and give glory to Him and stop giving it to others. And that judgment has already started. And that we're to worship the Creator, which calls into question the seventh-day Sabbath. And we must tell everyone that Babylon is fallen. And not only that, we're to refuse the mark of the beast, which is going to be imposed on all of those who refuse to follow the beast in his way. And we're told in Revelation 14, this group of people keep the commandments of God. Here's the patience of the saints and the testimony of it, that they keep His commandments. And then they tell everyone that Jesus is coming soon. Isn't this incredible? The first seven in Revelation introduces a group of people who exist in the last days that are distinguished by the seal of God, which is the seventh-day Sabbath. And then we move to the second seven of the book of Revelation. We're introduced to the fact that they follow Jesus wherever He goes. And of course, Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath day. And then we discover that they preach a specific message that no one else can preach. And it includes that judgment has come and it's time now to worship the Creator God, not the man-created day. And they will herald the second coming. Brothers and sisters, why do they call us the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Because Jesus is the Creator and He rested on the seventh day, and He is coming soon. Our name reflects the very points of this select group introduced in seven and more fully explained in the second seven, chapter 14. And that leads us, of course, to the third seven. The third seven is found in Revelation 21. Seven plus seven plus seven is 21, and notice what it says. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto him, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that athirst the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Wow! The culmination of the sevens in the book of Revelation brings us to a resolution to the sin problem. It is brought about by a group of people who stand for a specific belief, a specific understanding that Jesus is the Creator, not evolution, and that Saturday is the Sabbath, not Sunday, and we're honoring Jesus Christ, and because of that, we follow Him wherever He leads. He presents us faultless before the throne, but they have a message that has to be preached that no one else is preaching, and it includes certain elements that have to be told, because that's what brings the second coming of Jesus Christ and the resolution of the New Jerusalem coming from heaven. Brothers and sisters, this is just a perusal of the very first seven found in the book of Revelation. And it's incredible to me, when you put it all together, you see it more clearly, that this isn't humanly contrived. God knows what He's doing. He wants His people to know. I want you to focus, if you would, at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Folks, I want you to look at this representation on the board. I want you to see the New Jerusalem coming down to heaven. You know, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit what? The earth." Ultimately, the resolution will be the earth will be made new. Now, here's what this means. And I want you to check this out. This means the chief operating officer of the universe decided to move his home office. For right now, it's somewhere on the other side of the Orion constellation. And when it's time to wrap everything up, he has made the decision that in spite of his billions, that he wants to relocate to where the children are who kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he wants to come and live with them. And he wants to move his headquarters. And I'm going, this is mind-boggling. This is mind-boggling. And what does he ask of his people? He asks them to honor Him and not society, not culture, not the pressures that are being brought to bear upon all of us. And that those who do follow the Lamb wherever He goes, including keeping the Sabbath, will be part of this special group, 144,000, who are present faultless before the throne of God because of the work Jesus did, not the work they did. And so when we look at the sevens, we find out there's far more to the sevens than meet the eye. And in just one little perusal today, chapter 7, chapter 14, and chapter 21, is a cycle is brought to completion. And we see what He expects from His people. So my friends, as we move through this series, the sevens of the book of Revelation, I decided, or the Lord impressed me, before I came here this morning, that I need to have a call. I want to know who yet doesn't belong to this organization that feels the Spirit of the living God is talking to them. And inviting you to make that step. To say, yes, Pastor, I'm not baptized yet, but I want to be in the near future. Or I want to start Bible studies, or I am in Bible studies, and I want you to give me a date so that we can move ahead and plan on this. Because notice this group of people. They are decisive in their actions. And they make decisions based on the facts, not necessarily on the emotion. Because God is a very intentional God. And so as we're singing the closing hymn right now, any of you who feel that God is saying, yes, I want you to be part of this group, this 144,000, in fact, that's a very precise name for the remnant church of Bible prophecy, which is what we are. And that if you're not a member of this organization and you'd like to, while we're singing the closing hymn, I want you to come forward and stand up front. And then when we're done singing, we're going to have a special prayer over those who come forward. And also, we want to meet with you before you walk out the door. So, my friends, let the Spirit of the living God give you courage to respond in kind to this invitation as He is encouraging you to do, and there will be others to stand by your side. God bless you as we sing our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.